Welcome to this edition of the Leadership Works podcast with Chris and Karen Conley. So glad to have you listening along today, wherever you might be in your car or running out there, getting in shape or wherever you might be when you listen to podcasts. But we have a terrific edition for you. This cross-section of Disney World and business practices, I think, is going to be an incredibly helpful topic no matter what area you find yourself in the business world or in the nonprofit world or even just somebody who wants to make the world a better place.
One of the things that we love to do at High Point Church is we love to learn from the best. Naturally, as a church, we look to the other churches out there that God is using in a great, great way. But we also look beyond churches, because if High Point Church could deliver products around the world as effectively and efficiently as FedEx, how great would it be if we could distribute the gospel that way? So there's times that we can learn from other companies and we can just apply their learning curve over the years. We can apply their best practices of systems. Then we can apply other things like best practices of customer service. So here recently, we sent two staff members down to Disney and they spent 5 days behind the scenes with Disney leadership learning the best practices of Disney. One of those people was Nikki McVeigh, Shelby Dennison, and Nikki is like all things Disney. She always takes her family to Disney. She loves Disney. And for her to walk in the underground tunnels of Disney was just like the peak of just experience for her. So she just came back all giddy and excited and everything. But I can't wait to tell you, we as Christ followers, we should be the very best in the world at customer service. We should be the best at serving, right? Because ultimately, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So we should be defined by servanthood. People go to Disney, they almost always rave about the customer service. So why not learn from the best, but then put it into a biblical context, then say, we're not only going to serve that way, but we're going to then serve with the heart of God. We're going to see the difference it makes.
When you really step back and look at what goes into having a terrific experience, whether that is for an organization or whether that's you as an employee or just you as a servant of God, it really is so much bigger than that. It's not something that's just nice to have. Give us a little bit of the backstory of why service is so important. There's the obvious, but so many more layers to it.
Well, just like when you go to a restaurant, the food can be incredible, but if you receive poor service before you ever get your food, then you have already formed an opinion about that restaurant. So there are times that whether you have quality service or you have poor service, it influences the way one thinks about your organization, the way one thinks about your product. So what we really see is that service is an accumulation of touches. It's how you interface and interact with the people in your organization. It's not about one victory here and there. It is really about how many interactions you have over time. One of the companies that just does an amazing job that is completely redefining the fast food industry is Chick-fil-A. Because fast food restaurants typically have not been known for customer service. Yet, it is my pleasure is really becoming a part of the vernacular, a part of other restaurants adopting this, high-end restaurants adopting this. So you have got a company like Chick-fil-A that has taken a customer service approach, and now the reason why they don't just have one drive-through line, they have two drive-through lines, and those are completely full, and they're renovating restaurants left and right is, yes, they sell good chicken, but more than good chicken, they really serve the customer well. And what is so unique about them is not only do they serve the customer well, but they serve it based upon values. And now we know those values come from a Christian foundation in their company. So they are a perfect picture of this.
One of the things that we will see as we are able to flesh out Disney's principles, there is this very important fact that we're not talking about, okay, if you do one positive thing, that you have now delivered customer service. If you get that one win, it's all good. No, there's this consistency. But there is something very powerful about that first experience. Why is that first experience so important?
Just think about the first time you ever invite a friend to your home. You never invite them to a messy home. you always clean up your home and do the very, very best to present your home and yourself to honor that guest. And also, it shapes the way that they think about you as well. So first impressions, they are thrillers or killers. No one is ever neutral with a first impression. It's virtually impossible. Try to walk into a business for the first time that you have never been a customer of before and try to maintain a neutral opinion, a neutral perspective. It is impossible. And when people go to church or people come to, let's say that we've got the Leadership Works conference, they don't turn off their customer mode. No one ever just kind of goes, oh, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to quit being a customer. No, every single person loves to be served. And then one of the things that we'll learn through this, just like we all love to be served, let's learn how to love to serve. And when we learn how to love to serve, then that becomes a lifestyle. These experiences aren't just programmed into us. They are the culture that we create.
Yesterday, I had an opportunity with our daughter, really what you're describing lived out for us. We were looking for a dress for her. It's been 22 years since I looked for a wedding dress. This is a formal dress, and we were going to some different shops. And I didn't realize that in the last 20 years, the wedding industry has changed. And so if you're looking for formal dresses at a bridal place, now you apparently need an appointment at most places. When I was looking for my gown to marry you, that wasn't necessarily the case. And so we showed up to one of the shops that we had had on our list and realized that an appointment might be necessary, but it also had business hours on the front glass. So I was like, well, let's just walk in and see if we need to make an appointment, we can make one, or if they might have some time right now. And we walked in and it was obvious that they didn't want to see us, but they didn't have any customers in there. She kind of reluctantly said, okay, we can show you some dresses. And immediately, both Annika and I felt unwanted and unwelcomed, and it didn't really matter what the dresses looked like. We were ready to leave at that point.
And so in that moment, the person working there, they made the mistake of prioritizing a policy over a relationship. The policy is, okay, we're going to schedule appointments. And when we schedule the appointment, then what we can do is we can give better one-on-one customer service. But yet someone walked in not knowing your policy. And instead of taking advantage of that opportunity to win the loyalty of that customer and to go above and beyond relationship, and to even let them know, yes, we normally make appointments, but guess what? Since you're here today, this is the appointment for you. And since this is the best time for you today, it's the best time for us. So we are honored to have you here in our shop, and we cannot wait to show you a dress.
We would have bought the dress from you. I'm just telling you. Well, that really actually is kind of principle driven in the sense that one of the things that was a takeaway from Disney was that internal service quality drives your employment brand in the same way that external service quality drives your market brand. Why is that so important?
The key to customer satisfaction is employee satisfaction.
Say that again.
The key to customer satisfaction is employee satisfaction. Because when the employee loves what they do and they love the brand, then all of a sudden the attitude of the employee is contagious. So when we value the employee, then the employee will value the customer. So what we have to do is we have to do the intangibles in your office environment. Do the things in building a culture around the office environment that says you are our most important asset. You as the employee, not just the product that we have, but you as the employee are our most important resource, our asset. Therefore, we're going to do everything we can to make you feel as valued as we want our customer to feel. When that employee knows that you are investing in them, when the company wins, they also win, then that employee is going to be motivated to take their attitude of loyalty to the company and make sure they create loyalty from the customer as well.
For so long, that connection hasn't been made in the leadership realm, in service leadership, that as an organization, you can skip ahead and just think about the customer and not realize that it's that employee in between that is the difference maker.
So here's the mistake that's often made in the past, and this is changing in companies all across the world. In the past, a boss would look at his or her employee and they would really value them kind of for their hands and their feet. What can they manually do to get the work done? Whereas today, we also want to value our employees for their mind and their heart. We want to value who they are. We want to value what they can contribute in their thinking. We want to value what they represent in their personality and their attitude. And that really kind of comes from the heart. So when you value someone's head and heart, you'll also get their hands and their feet.
Chris, in this concept of designing exceptional service, there were three core principles. Maybe you could just paint the big picture of how that is approached. What are those three core principles for service design?
First of all, you've got to understand what your purpose is. What's the purpose of this organization? In our world of church life or nonprofit world, we have the blessing and the benefit of having a kingdom-minded purpose, purpose that really is all about one coming to know Jesus Christ, one growing in a relationship with Christ, one becoming a difference maker, all right? Every company has a stated purpose. So you really want to get buy-in to what the purpose of the company is. But then you need to understand your customer. And when I say understand your customer, it's not just a generic understanding of the customer. When we say at High Point Church that we're a perfect place for imperfect people, then we're understanding that a lot of times our customer feels like they've already messed up. Our customer feels like they don't have their act together. Our customer feels like life is really challenging. Life is really hard. So we're going to understand there's a younger generation out there that for different reasons have disconnected with the church over the years. So we've got to understand who they are. For us, you have to have a targeted customer in order to really reach that group, and then you can reach everybody else as well. But for us, we're trying to say, okay, maybe our customer is a 35-year-old married couple with two children. Then we have different customers. Some of them live in East Memphis. Some of them live in Midtown. Some of them live in a suburb. And when we do that, we'll begin to break down the specifics of that customer. And then you also have to understand, what business are you in? What is the bottom line of the business? What product do we have? How can we be the most successful in this business? Those three things will really drive the customer service process. They drive the experience that the customer has when they interface with you.
So that I get this whole thing of customer service down right, what are the kinds of questions that people should be asking?
From the perspective of the organization, the business, from the perspective of the leader, the leader's having to ask this and say, what do I want to do for my customers? Let me repeat that. What do I want to do for my customers? So let me try to give an example from the life of High Point Church of how we try to answer this question. Church world's a little bit unique because there are certain things that we can control and there are certain things that we can't control. So we definitely want the results, the spiritual results of someone maybe coming to place their faith in Christ. We want the results of someone growing in Christ, but we can't always directly make that happen. That's a choice that someone has to make. So we have to focus on the things that we can control. So when we ask the question, what do I want to do for my customer? We really break it down into three things. I want to provide an appealing environment. So when they drive up on the campus, when they walk into the campus, their first impression is positive. If you go to a campus and there's not good landscaping, things are overgrown and not taken care of, and you go, well, they can't even take care of this property. How can they take care of me? If they don't even pay attention to those kind of details, do I really want to entrust my family to them? Do I really want to entrust my marriage to them, my parenting to them? Believe it or not, having an appealing environment is so, so important. Now, you know that to be true when you go shopping. Why is it that all these indoor malls have closed around the country and that we no longer have these indoor malls, but rather we have these outdoor shopping centers that are these lifetime experiences that are including all these kind of different parks and beautiful landscaping and experiences as you shop, because the appealing environment is important. The second thing we want to do is we want to provide engaging presentations, because, I mean, who in the world wants a presentation that's not engaging, right? You know, no one wants a boring presentation. So, of course, we want to provide an engaging presentation. But sometimes in our world, just because it's truth, we think we have permission. Well, if it's truth, then you should just listen whether it's engaging or not. No. No, we want to captivate your attention, because we know that when you are really dialed in and you are really listening, and even when you are laughing, you learn better when you're laughing. When your emotions are engaged, you learn more. You remember stories better than you remember facts. It's an engaging presentation, and it should be engaging because God is the best communicator in the world, and we've got the best story in the world to tell. Then third, I want to provide helpful content. Helpful. I just want to help people take the next step. I want to give people hope. I want to give people tools to be able to live the life that God has designed for them, to grow in their relationship with God and their relationship with people.
That obviously is an incredibly important question. As a business leader or as someone, the head of an organization, what do I want to do for my customers? But the next question is also equally important. And sometimes we accidentally overlook this element of it. And that question is, what does my customer want me to do? So that's a 180-degree turn from what you just described. Why is that important? And how do you flesh the answer out to that question?
Because you've always heard some people say the customer is always right. And sure, maybe you can debate that a little bit. And there's certain contexts where that's true. And there's contexts where that's not true. But ultimately, the customer is the one that decides whether or not they're going to buy your product or not. The customer is the one that decides whether or not they're going to participate in your nonprofit or not. The customer is the one that decides whether or not they're going to go to your church or someone else's church. The customer knows that they have some felt need in life. There is some problem that they have that needs to be solved. Or there is maybe not even a problem. Maybe there's something that is positive that they want to be a part of. So in that regard, we have to say, what does my customer want me to do? Well, I've got to provide that service. And when I provide that service, let's put it in the context of High Point Church again. I believe God created the church to be the primary organization through which he communicates his love to the world. And the greatest need of every single person in this world is for love to work. But for the majority of people in this world, love's kind of broken. So because love is broken and it's not working the way that they want it to work, they're coming to church understanding that church is the organization that God created to communicate his love, to express his love, to give his love away. So what they want is they want the church to prove that love works, because no one else is proving that love works. So what we try to say at High Point Church is that when love works, life works. When love works, life works. And this is the result of living out kind of our love works promise, okay? That we're making a promise to you. God is the one, the only one, that can truly make love work in your life and through your life.
Obviously, you're looking at it from the purpose of the organization. In our context, as what is our purpose as a church to prove that love works? And then looking at it from the person that's walking in the doors to say, what are they wanting when they come here? And that is for them to see that living demonstration that isn't going to let them down, that isn't going to disappoint them like other people and other experiences. But then there's this really important organizational question that we always like to ignore, but usually is what stops us in the tracks. So tell us this third question and how to contextualize it to where we are.
This is my least favorite question of all time. What can I afford to do? Ugh. Who in the world likes budget meetings? I've got a budget meeting tonight. There's just something about those budget meetings that none of us like limitations. But limitations are a way of life. Very few people really have unlimited money or resources. What we've got to do is we've got to ask this question, what can I afford to do? In that, if we go back to the two previous questions, what do my customers want me to do? Well, in our context, we've said to provide an appealing environment, an engaging presentation, and a helpful content. So it costs a certain amount of money to do that. You've got to have facilities, and you've got to be able to have the resources to have the leaders that can provide those things. But then you go to the second one. What does my customer want me to do? You've got to provide these things in a way that it meets the customer's need. So when I ask this question, what can I afford to do? It all depends upon the scale. But we should be able to prioritize according to what we discern to be the needs of the customer, what we discern to be the needs of the community, and then what we discern to be the resources of the organization, and then we try to provide the appropriate budget, the appropriate resources to those appealing environments, to those engaging presentations, to that helpful content that we can then provide the promise that love works to as many people as possible, but not just to as many as possible, but in a specific way to each individual person.
We've given them the big picture, the principle of purpose, of customer and business. I know we don't have time to get into all three of those in this particular podcast. Before we end for today, talk to us a little bit about that first principle. There are so many times we have good intentions and that an organization or somebody with a great idea, they want to make a difference and in this world, in the city that they live in, but they don't have the clarity. They don't have defined what their purpose is.
You would think in many regards, every company would say, well, our purpose is to make a profit. Yes, there's a bottom line sense to that. But really, we want to see that our purpose is bigger than that. A couple of examples of that, like Disney's common purpose, they would say, we create happiness by providing the finest in entertainment for people of all ages everywhere. Well, that's a little bit more inspiring than we just want to make a profit. Okay. We create happiness. Well, if I am a leader in that organization, if I am an employee of that organization, then I can be a little bit more proud of my job in the way that I interact with people every day. And I can know that part of the goal, part of the purpose of me even being here is to try to give someone else happiness. And so regardless of what your business is, you must find a purpose bigger and better than profit. Now, profit is essential, or you'll be out of business, all right? But even the purpose of profit is for the purpose of blessing the people who work in your organization, of providing a quality lifestyle to those people in the organization, of positively contributing to your local community, investing in other nonprofits and other organizations that have a purpose that can make a difference in a different way than your organization. But if you give off the perception that the only purpose of your organization is to make a profit, then there's only a small number of people who really will benefit from that profit, and then they'll resent that being your purpose. But if your purpose is bigger than profit, and your purpose causes everyone else to benefit from the profit, then they'll be committed to the bottom line of your purpose, and they'll embrace the fact that you need to make a profit.
That brings us to the end of this particular podcast. I hope this has been a new insight to service leadership that you can apply to your life. We'd love for you to interact with either Chris or I. He's at Chris Conley on Twitter, or you can check out his blog at chrisconley.net. I'm at Karen Conley on Twitter, or you can check out my blog at karenconley.com. And you can always go to leadershipworksconference.org. Have a great day.